I'll be reading from Matthew 10. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a beautiful New Year's weekend. Glad you're here. We've got visitors. We're just proud that you are with us and invite you to be back with us at any opportunity that you have. Next Sunday morning, we'll start a new class and want to encourage you all to come. We're going to meet over in the fellowship hall at 9:15. We're going to try to start on time, so come and be with us. And this is going to be kind of a Bible basics, first principles class. And even if you've been in the church a long time, or maybe these are new, we're going to talk about have some discussions together about some Bible basics and principles. And want you to come and be a part of that. If you've not regularly been a part of our Sunday school classes, this would be a good time to get started and join us in a discussion type class where we'll learn some things. And if you have some questions, we'll try to deal with those. We will deal with them. So invite you to come starting next week over in the fellowship hall. So come and join us for that class. I know that it will be a good study for all of us. And again, you can have input in that. And if you've got some questions, we'll address those and learn together about the basics of our faith and practice. It's hard to believe that another year has come and gone, isn't it? We're in 2016. I still remember worrying about Y2K. You know, that I'm glad that wasn't a big deal. But it just seemed like that was the other day. And that's been 16 years ago. That's really hard to believe. Several of you in this room weren't even around 16 years ago. And it just seems like the other day. But another one has started. And with it, new hopes and promises of a year that is to come. As I was thinking about the new year, thinking back about when the kids first started playing baseball. And it's not quite baseball time yet, but it will be again before we know it. It'll start warming up and it'll be baseball season. But one of the first things when they started playing baseball was to teach them how to run the bases. Because it can be very interesting when they first begin. Second base is not in center field. But sometimes they're way out in center field looking for a bag to step on. Or sometimes they begin and they take off toward third base. And they get to third base in a great hurry. But that's not the direction that they need to go in. You hit the ball and you run to first, right? And then you go to second, third, and round your way toward home. As we start a new year, I want us to talk for a moment this morning about heading in the right direction, heading toward first. And I want us to read from Matthew the words of Jesus that are familiar to us. But as we begin a new year, I want us to think about, and I really hope that this will become our theme for the year and really ought to be our theme for life, what Jesus teaches us. Now, it's in a discussion that we often do about why we shouldn't worry. And we're not going to talk about worry today, although that's we've talked about it before, it's important. But I want us to talk about the why. Why do we not worry? What's the reasoning for that? And how does that impact and affect our lives? So let's look at Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his life, or a single hour have reversions back to other translations. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Jesus, in this discussion on the Sermon on the Mount, lays out for us, and sometimes we talk about this from the aspect of worry, but I want to talk about the acceptance, the understanding, the knowledge that God cares for us. All right? God cares for us, collectively and individually. And Jesus' point is that we are more important than the flowers that are now gone. I got some bad news for you this morning from a horticultural standpoint. We've had spring for some of our flowering trees and plants in the warm weather in December. They fired off early. Now, a whole lot of them didn't, but those that fired early, that's all the bloom we're going to get from them. They'll green up, but the flowering is over for this year for them. But for the most part, we're anticipating the flowers blooming and maybe have pleasant memories of the blooming in the past. But today, when we go outside, most of the plants are what? They're dormant. And what about the annuals? The annuals are not dormant. They are dead. They are dead. They bloomed in the spring, and they went through their life cycle, and they produced, and they're gone. That plant won't ever be back again. But Jesus' point is, weren't those flowers beautiful? Because God made them that way. Even though they just last a year, God makes them beautiful. And what about the birds? Birds are everywhere. I enjoy them sometimes. The songbirds especially, you enjoy, and the pretty colored birds. But the birds are kind of everywhere. God takes care of them in wonderful ways. These cold nights, they make it. Snow, they make it. They have food, but have very little value, certainly from a monetary standpoint, but God cares for them. So the understanding is if God cares for them, and He does, how much more importantly will God care for us? If God cares for the flowers and the birds, how much more valuable are we than they are? And God cares for us in great ways as well. And so Jesus is saying, you should know that, that God cares for us. All right, Mike. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Who chases after them? Those who don't believe in God. Now, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. Now, I don't know how many of you have on some new clothes today that you might have gotten for Christmas. But I bet there's some new shoes or new clothes or new coats that were gotten recently. And maybe some of you are waiting to show them off at work or at school this week. And those are nice things, and I'm glad we've gotten them, and that's part of our giving and doing those things. I know many of us anticipate good meals and remember good meals of the past, right? Maybe we do both. But for most of us, those things that we enjoy, and it's a part of life. We have to have clothes, we have to have food. However, if we are consumed with what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear, in our culture, at least for most of us, it is because we have really elevated them in importance, because most of us are able to have basic clothing and basic food pretty well available, right? We may not be able to buy everything that we want or the brand that we might want. We might not be able to have a steak dinner all the time, but we can eat nourishing food. So if we're consumed by that, then we have elevated it in its importance. And if we're consumed Are we going to be able to take care of ourselves all the time? If we're worried about where things are coming from, what are we going to do about retirement? How are we going to live? If that consumes us, Jesus would say it shows a lack of faith. The pagans worry about those things. Why would that be a pagan trait? Because for the pagans, nobody else is going to provide it. So I better worry about it, think about it, plan for it, and work at it, because if I don't, nobody else is, right? But what's Jesus' point to us? God knows we need them. And if God cares for the birds and for the plants, how much more is he going to care for us? Now, lest you want this lesson to say that, you think, well, I'm just going to go home and sit down for the rest of the day, and I'm going to lay around all day tomorrow, and the clothes are just going to show up. That's not what Jesus is saying. But if you're consumed about having things laid by and providing all the opportunity, you are missing the point that it is Jesus. It is God who provides for his people. And we should be dependent on that. Now, understanding, and I hope that you believe that and know that, that God does provide for his people. Here's what Jesus says we should be about. We shouldn't be about clothing, food. That shouldn't be the sum total of who we are. Our housing and our jobs and all of those activities should not be what defines us. Should not be what we have planned for the year. If you sit down and say, what are my plans for the year? And it only deals with material things, we've missed the point. Because here's what Jesus tells us. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. What should our priority? What must our priority be? What must our focus be every day? And certainly it's a great time as we face a new year. It should be seeking first God's kingdom. Being about God's business. Being people of the kingdom, because all of these other things are secondary. All these other things are less important than seeking God and his kingdom, because God will provide the rest. Because we have need of them, don't we? Yes. It's all right, you can shake your head. Still be with me. It's the first sermon of the new year. Don't be gone already. We need them. There's no denial in Scripture. There's not this thought that our body has no importance. Because that was a thought of the first century. That the body had no importance at all. And that's not what Jesus is saying at all. He's not saying that our clothing and our food and our shelter and what we would call basic necessities are not important. He's saying they are important. They're necessary. And God's got that covered. We need to first seek God and his kingdom, and he'll take care of the other needs that we have in our life. Seeking God's kingdom first. As we begin the new year, let's make sure that we run to first base. That we're not wandering in the outfield, or we're not with great speed, agility, and force crossing third when we leave home plate. Because no matter how fast and how gracefully you get to third, you are out. Right? Because we have to put first things first. And the first thing is to seek God and his kingdom. That has to be first in our lives. As we face the new year, let's make sure our priorities are that we're seeking the kingdom of God. Not only are food and clothing important, but as Trey read for us, from also the teachings of Jesus as he sends out the apostles, He gives us an instruction that is really kind of difficult. To me, much more difficult than the teaching of Jesus, although I find them in practice easy to comprehend mentally, but in practice hard to apply. But in talking about seeking the kingdom first, not only is the kingdom and being people of the kingdom more important than what we eat, what we wear, but our relationship to God and seeking his kingdom has to be the highest priority of our lives. Jesus, as he makes, gives the rules, the laws of the covenant to the people of Israel in Exodus. You remember what God says? He says, I am a jealous God, right? And you will have no other gods before me. What position in our lives does God require? Not that he suggests, not that he just desires, but that God requires that he be number one in our lives. That he be the highest priority. That we place nothing more important than our relationship with God and our obedience and faith in him. Jesus would say, more important even than our relationships with family. If we love mother and father, sons and daughters more, we're not worthy. Let's bring back up what Trey read for us. What does Jesus say? Because this is different. Now, is Jesus in this passage saying we shouldn't love our families? Nope. Should we be neglectful of our families? It's important we understand this. Absolutely not, because Jesus would be very disappointed and very condemning of those individuals who didn't take care of their family. It's the highest a priority of our Christian service to care for family. However, he doesn't say not to love our families, but that we can't love other people or other things more than we love God. Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And then here's what Jesus calls us to. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. As we look at the opportunities of 2016, have we thought about, and hopefully now we will, are we willing to take up our cross and follow Jesus? Are we willing to bear what we must bear to truly follow what Jesus would have us do? Are we willing to take up our cross? Because what did Jesus do? Jesus literally took up the cross, didn't he? Literally left heaven, literally came to earth and took up a cross and its pain and suffering for us. And if we're going to follow in his footsteps, we too must be willing to take up whatever cross God has for us to bear. What burdens do we bear in service and dedication to God? Sometimes, oftentimes, it's difficult to be obedient to what God has called us to, and to live lives full of faith. I struggle with my own personal desires, and I bet I'm not alone. But not only do we have to set those aside in our service to God, but are we willing to take up a cross? Are we willing to suffer persecution? Are we willing to suffer pain, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe occupationally, to be followers of Jesus? Or when the going gets tough, do we let our faith set aside? Do we become silent? Do we become complacent? Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, take up your cross and follow me. So as we face 2016, are we willing to take up our crosses and follow Jesus? To put aside things of this life and be willing to follow Jesus. And to bear our cross, because Jesus said if we're not willing to do that, then we're not worthy. So if we face 16, I don't want us to be discouraged about that, but God has called us to bear a cross. Now, let's look at Jesus. Jesus lived a life where he took up a cross, right? And did without some comforts and pleasures for the while he lived as a human. In fact, he would say to those who came to him for prosperity, birds have nests, and foxes have dens, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I don't know a thing. Jesus was not prospered in this world. But what did God do when Jesus went to the cross? God raised him from the dead and exalted him to his right hand, right? God exalted him. Our encouragement, my encouragement to all of us, myself certainly included, as we look at 2016, to be people of the kingdom. Realizing that the kingdom And God's kingdom now and to come is so much more important than anything else we deal with. Because what happens to everything else we know or see other than the things of the kingdom? Let's see what Peter says. I bet you're familiar with them. But the day of the Lord will become like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God, and speed is coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Not only should we put the kingdom first, it's what God calls us to, it only makes sense. Because everything else here is going to do what? Be destroyed. Any other thing we can be about is going to be destroyed. It's going to be burned up. And so Peter's discussion with the people of the time and to us is, knowing this, that the things of this world are not going to last, what kind of people should we be? Then we ought to be people, what? Of the kingdom. Because it's going to last. When all the rest of this is laid bare and destroyed, what lasts? The treasures we've laid up in heaven. The things of the kingdom. So we ought to be men and women of the kingdom. Because in doing that, in building in the kingdom, we build that which is permanent, that which is lasting. It's interesting what Peter says. Because as Peter says this, and I've shared this with you many times before in lessons, because most of the time when we talk about destruction, what does it bring to us? Apprehension, right? Is that fair for most of us? When we think about the destruction of the world, there is an apprehension to that. There is some anxiety associated with that. But Peter, in writing this, says, you know that day is coming, and you what? You speed it along. Why in the world would anybody want to speed that along? Because people of the kingdom realize that when this earth is gone, there's a new heaven and a new earth that God has designed that is a perfect place for His people to live. That greater things are coming. That destruction of this earth is not a bad thing, but it is a glorious revealing of God and His kingdom and His people. I hope that our theme for this year will be seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness. That we'll be people of the kingdom and people of righteousness, realizing that the end is coming and that we anticipate with excitement the Lord's coming. And not only are we about being people of the kingdom, but as a part of that, just as the sending out of those apostles, that we're about spreading and sharing the news that God's kingdom is at hand. Because judgment and the destruction will be a great thing for the people of God. It'll be a terrible day for those who are not. And so our role is to help share the news of the kingdom so others can be a part of the kingdom and anticipate the glorious return of Jesus, so that it won't be a sad day for our friends and family and neighbors and those afar off, but that it will be a glorious day for them. Because the great thing about the kingdom, unlike the Black Friday sales of just a few weeks ago, which were so much off for the first X number of people through the door, right? Or the first number of people online, it's limited in space. There's only so many. There's room in the kingdom. There's room in the kingdom. And so we need to share the good news because there is room for many. And so as people of the kingdom, we should be about sharing that good news. The promise of a new year, an alignment. What's our goal? What's our focus? What's our priority going to be? Let's seek first. Let's run in the right direction as we head toward the basis. seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness, living it in our lives, trusting in God's power not only to save us but to provide for us, laying our burdens at the cross of Jesus and letting God care for us, and be about sharing that good news with enthusiasm with those who are around us, because it is good news that Jesus will return and all the troubles that we face here will be gone. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.